weekly Blue Jays report now with Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com. Andrew, welcome back to the show, man. Did you get your phone fixed?
I did get my phone fixed. Yeah, we're on the same unit, but with an extra $140 in it.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's yeah. Have Bellevue provider. It'll never break down. It's perfect. Now,
I should switch.
Yeah, the Jays starting pitching, which wasn't great, has really started to give them some quality starts the past week.
It's been really incredible, actually. Yeah, I mean, I think the whole way through the season, the Jays starting pitching has been well exceeding expectations. And, you know, I mean, I think people thought that guys like Jay Happ and Marco Estrada could maybe repeat the success that they had last year. But, you know, when they signed those contracts, it was kind of, it looked like that would be the best case scenario. And they weren't really paying Jay Happ, and I think in particular, to be the guy that he was for the second half of last year or for the last couple months when he went to Pittsburgh and really seemed to turn it around. They were paying him to be about an average pitcher, to be the kind of guy that Jay Happ was. And if he continued to pitch the way that he did in Pittsburgh, that would just be a great bonus for the Jays. And right now, it looks like that's what they're getting. I mean, it's still, you know, 8 starts into the season. But he's been terrific. Estrada's been terrific. Stroman, you know, has picked up exactly where we thought he would after coming back last year. He started to sort of bring the strikeouts into his game a little bit more, which I think is a really good thing for him. I know he was kind of trying to focus on being efficient and pitching the contact a bit and using his sinker and being a ground ball guy, but when he can add the dimension of getting strikeouts when he needs to, I think that takes him from being a good pitcher to, you know, something like an elite pitcher. And Aaron Sanchez, you really can't say anything bad about him either. He's been everything that the Jays could have hoped for. He's just a one-pitch guy, but that pitch is so effective, and guys, you know, they know it's coming and they still can't handle it. So I think he can get by being like that, and hopefully if Ari Dickey gets it turned around, they can really be flying. It's so crazy that this is what has been the strength of the team so far, because obviously everybody thought it would be the offense, and that's been the source of all the frustration, I think, apart from the bullpen, which has also been pretty bad.
Well, let's stay with the pitching side and go to the bullpen, where, you know, obviously they were expecting much more from Brett Cecil this year, a few other guys. Drew Storen, although, you know, he might have had his best outing against San Francisco, got himself and then got out of some trouble in that inning. But, you know, his 8.25 ERAs, you know, his teams are hitting .350 off of him right now. And, you know, he's lost some velocity. Do you think he maybe can build on one performance, you know, just confidence-wise? Or, you know, like 3 to 4 miles an hour difference off his fastball, like that's a huge blow, and you wonder if maybe there's some structural damage in there.
That could be a thing, and, I mean, that's always a concern when you see a velocity dip like that. I mean, I think the fact that he's getting older is a thing, too. You know, guys do tend to lose velocity as they get older. I'm not sure how much he can build off that one performance. I hope that he can, but I think really the smart thing has been that the Jays are sort of dialing him back. You know, it was a 13-inning game. He had to go to guys, and I think I understand why John Gibbons wants to, you know, sort of keep giving Storen a chance. You know, he's not going to be able to work his way out of this if he's not getting into games. But the leverage has sort of been dialed back a little bit, and I think they have to keep doing that. And what's really sort of troubling for me, I think, is the fact that at least publicly his comments about it are like, oh, I got to put my head down and work my way, you know, push through this and it'll get better. And it's like, oh, dude, look at your velocity. Like, you're not the same pitcher you were last year. I don't know that you're necessarily going to get the results that you were able to get when you had, you know, a couple more ticks on your fastball. So it's a concern. And yet you have a guy like Gavin Floyd who's stepped up and has looked really good and has been going the opposite way and getting higher leverage opportunities. And it just seems crazy to me to say, but I feel good and comfortable with Gavin Floyd going into those situations, but I do right now. He's been really good for them.
Andrew Stoughton joins us. I was going to say Drew Storen there for a second as we talk Blue Jays. He's on my mind. Is Tapera a Major League Baseball pitcher in your mind, or do they have to find some more depth in their bullpen? What do you make of him? Because to me, every time I see him come in, I see him getting lit up.
Yeah, I don't think it's been good for Tapera for sure. I mean, the shrimp, the walk-off walk there was not. You know, you want to see a guy able to throw a strike, but you also want to. I understand with that, you want to see a guy believe in himself, believe that he can make a good pitch to Buster Posey, and not just, you know, give up and throw something middle in and take something off it just to get a strike and say, you know, I'll hope it doesn't go over the wall or doesn't, you know, go into the gap. But, yeah, he's been bad, and I think major league pitcher. He's a fringe major league pitcher. He's a guy who's probably going to do exactly what he's been doing, which is yo-yoing up and down from Buffalo to Toronto. Ideally, there wouldn't be a spot for him in the bullpen, but I don't think that necessarily means that they're too struggling for depth. You know, they've really sort of focused on keeping guys in the starting rotation in Buffalo. You know, Drew Hutchison could probably come in and be a better option than Ryan Tepera in the immediate for the Jays right now, except I think he's better suited to keep starting and to continue to be a guy who maybe can come up and make some spot starts, or if somebody gets hurt can come in and pitch in the rotation. So I think they have some options there that they can maybe think about later in the year. And Tepera probably won't be one of them. But, you know, he's had some success too. I don't want to dump on him too much. But, yeah, it was time to get him back to Buffalo, which I think is what has happened today after with Brett Cecil coming up off the paternity list.
Moving to the bats, Tulowitzki, it's only a few games, but the only way you're going to start to get out of your funk is to put together some games. And then his at-bats, you know, of course, the big home run, but even just getting a few singles and getting on base for him, you know, you're starting to see a little signs from him, but he's not close still to being the hitter that people thought he'd be.
No, you really have to dig deep to get the positive signs, I think, for him. I mean, the hits have been there the last couple of games. What really keeps coming up to me, though, there's a number you can look at the percentage of balls that he's made contact in the strike zone, because I think a lot of people have noticed him swinging through pitches. There's also been a thing where he's been taking a lot of good pitches, which is a separate issue. But especially at the start of the year, if you look up to about the end of April, he was only making contact on 70% of the swings that he took on balls that were thrown in the strike zone. And since then, it's gone up to about 88%, which is about league average. He's usually a little higher than that because he's a guy who can make good contact, usually. But that 70% number that he was at, you know, for the first month of the season is extremely horrible and extreme for him. And it was a real concern. And to see that bounce back, I think, is a good thing, even though maybe necessarily the results haven't yet come with it. But I think that, you know, speaks to the fact that he could be going in the right direction. But, yeah, you just want to see actual production and not, you know, having to look at all those sort of underlying numbers to feel good about what he's doing for the club, because it's been ugly.
We've seen, Saunders probably be maybe the biggest surprise offensively for this team. Of course, had the big home run in the ninth inning. He's moved up to the leadoff spot. And you know, the Canadian guy in Toronto, is he getting, you know, a little bit more of a cult following? Like, does it matter to Blue Jay fans that he's Canadian?
I think it does. I think it matters, especially to maybe the more casual fans. You know, that's sort of a novel thing for them. I think people who really, you know, follow the game more deeply maybe knew who Saunders was before and aren't necessarily swayed by that. But, I mean, he's just been terrific. I mean, if he wasn't producing, I don't think that would it would, you know, save him from the ire of the fans, you know, the fact that he has the Canadian passport. But, you know, he's just been terrific no matter where he's from, and it has been a great surprise for the Jays this year. And, you know, they tried to trade him away for Jay Bruce on all the rumors that we heard, you know, at the start of the season, and they're looking really good for that trade having fallen apart, because Saunders has been, just a great bat in a sea of not-so-great bats right now.
Do you think moving guys throughout the lineup makes a difference? Like Kevin Pillar, I don't know if it was just coincidence that he started hitting when he got out of the leadoff spot, or he just got more comfortable. I'm not sure. I don't know if you crunch numbers. Do certain guys hit better in certain spots?
You know, I don't know the actual answer to that. I mean, I know Pillar splits, you know, in leadoff versus when he was hitting at the bottom of the lineup have been quite, you know, stark, the difference between them. And that could be a thing. I mean, I think where it comes back to for me is people talked about Tulo leading off. That was a thing for a long time, and he just didn't seem comfortable doing it. And, you know, as much as I really don't think it should matter, if a guy doesn't feel comfortable hitting in that spot and doesn't want to do it, then, you know, I think that he, you know, that should be honored, and that's probably not a good thing for the team to put him in a position where he's not comfortable. Whether Pillar, you know, is comfortable and, you know, looks better at the bottom of the order or the top, I don't know if that's a personal thing for him or if it's just a coincidence or what, but it certainly looked better when it wasn't leading off.
Now, going back to Tulowitzki, he's not hitting, but he's made 6 errors in 34 games already this year. He made none in 40 games last year when he came over in that trade. Concerned at all? Like, is his lack of offense impacting him defensively or vice versa?
I mean, it could be. I mean, if you talk to Edwin Encarnacion, that was always the thing, you know, when he first came up and everybody, you know, was really getting on him because he was at third base and was just an error machine over there. And it sort of carried over into the batter's box. And, you know, he really didn't become the player that he is until he got away from the glove and was able to just focus on hitting. You know, I think Tulo, maybe that's the thing that's happening with him, but some of the errors have been, you know, just sort of freak stuff, you know, the ball clanging off his glove. You know, I'm not concerned about him in the way I was, say, last year about Jose Reyes, in the sense that it looks like it's a degradation of his skills. You know, I don't think he's lost anything in the field. I think it's just, you know, been a couple unfortunate plays, and you're right, maybe something getting in his head about, you know, just not going well overall. But I'm not terribly concerned about him. I think he's really fun to watch at shortstop, actually.
Well, he's a dynamic defender for sure. I just, for him, those type of error numbers are well above, you know, his career average. And I just wonder if, you know, if that plays a part in it mentally for a guy or not. Josh Donaldson, he's the MVP, you know, being solid defensively. His offensive numbers are still pretty good. You look at Donaldson, and is he the guy who really runs the Jays in your mind, or is it still Batista's team?
You know, I think it's probably more Donaldson than Batista right now. If we have to, you know, parse that out, I'm not really sure how things go behind closed doors, but it definitely seems like that was a concerted effort last year by Anthopoulos and by the front office to bring in a guy like Donaldson and bring in a guy like Russell Martin, perhaps with a view to the fact that Jose Batista just isn't going to be here probably following this year, but also because of their reputations as leaders and you know, the way that they work, that, you know, that they lead by example and vocally and you know, bring all sorts of great intangible stuff. So yeah, I guess if we had to choose, I would say maybe it's Donaldson's team right now, but I think more importantly, I think it's a team. It seems like it's a cohesive unit. It seems like, you know, thinking back to last year, you know, guys get along together. You know, guys push themselves to get better. You know, you saw a lot of stories in the off season about, you know, players working out with each other, which doesn't necessarily happen. You know, sometimes guys just go their separate ways and don't hang out in the off season, don't see each other until spring training. And I think those are all good signs.
Speaking of hitting, Jose Batista not hitting. He's only, you know, he's .208 right now, and you know, his slugging percentage, his on base numbers are, you know, they're okay, but they're lower than what you'd expect. You know, his OPS is only 789, which is well below Donaldson and, you know, Sanders and other guys like that. Is the no contract, do you think, becoming a factor? Have they talked about it? Have you heard anything as far as any new offers coming on the contract?
No, I haven't heard anything about that at all, to be honest. And, you know, he says, unlike Encarnacion, he says he's open to negotiating during the season. So maybe we'll see something out of nowhere, like the Steven Strasburg deal that happened this week with the Nationals. But I don't really expect it. I mean, I think it's just they have a lot of money tied up in Donaldson and in Martin and in Tulowitzki going forward. And it's going to be probably down to the offseason to see whether they can make it fit to be able to keep Batista. As far as on the field, you know, you see with his walk numbers, you see he really still controls the strike zone like, you know, few players in the game. And I'm not too worried about the low batting average, especially, you know, you want to see the power numbers go up. And he hasn't been at his best just yet this season. But, you know, just knowing that he still commands the strike zone the way that he does and still has that understanding of it and waits for his pitch, and if he doesn't get it, he takes the walk. It's an incredible thing to watch, and I think he will heat up and become the guy that we completely expect him to be.
Andrew, as always, appreciate the rundown. How's the Texas matchup look?
It looks good. It looks interesting. I mean, Texas and the Jays are always, always interesting, or always, I guess, since Game 5 last year. I think the fans in Texas are probably going to have a little bit of fun with Batista coming in and with Donaldson and some of the guys involved in the dust-ups in that Game 5 and in that series. So it should be fun on that level for sure. And I think they're a beatable team too.
Yeah, a lot of people thought there might be something from Texas the first time they met. There was nothing. And I really didn't think the need for it, honestly. Like, Jose Batista hit a home run and was excited. That's all he did. I don't believe that that's worthy of a brushback, although in baseball it seems they're ultra-sensitive at times. So, I don't expect there to be anything that way. But I wonder if when the games become more emotional, it seems the Jays play better. So maybe they need that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that could be a thing. And you know what? If it was me hitting that home run, I think Batista showed restraint. I would have completely lost it compared to, you know, what he did flipping that bat. So the Rangers should maybe take it easy if that's how they're thinking about it. But I don't know that the team is. The fans and the media there might be another story.
Andrew, great stuff, man. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks very much.